flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, who did well at the Senior Bowl last week? Bunch of dogs were there. Our buddy Connor Riley is here to join us from Dog Nation. Connor, who helped themselves last week?
Yeah, I think the two guys that really jump out to me are Smile Mundon, the linebacker, and Trevor Etienne, the running back. Smile looks like a great athlete out there. The biggest thing with him, it's never been ability. I thought he played great to close this stretch of season for Georgia. It's been availability, and when he goes to Indianapolis as a part of the NFL scouting combine, how he does on his medical checks are going to determine where he ultimately ends up going in the NFL draft. And then with Trevor Etienne, kind of in a similar note, was limited this year because of injury and then obviously missed a game because of suspension. But he really impressed from the jump in his time there in Mobile. And I think for him in particular, really validated the decision to enter the NFL draft. I know at first there was some confusion as to whether or not he had actually entered, and then he ultimately does so, leaving some maybe frustrated that he elected to do so. But the week that he had in Mobile last week, I think further validates why he elected to go into the NFL draft, and he certainly helped himself in front of evaluators last week in Mobile.
I know that we spent a lot of time on it, certainly last year, I mean now this the end of the season, but it just seems like it was unfilled, untapped potential, right, if that's the legacy of Trevor Etienne's time in Athens.
Yeah, and it never started on the right foot, obviously, with the offseason arrest, and then, you know, he plays really well against Texas in that regular season game, scores 3 touchdowns, and then that game against Florida, suffers a rib injury early in that game, and just really never got going again in the regular season, obviously bounced back in the win over Texas in the SEC championship game, but then sort of stumbles again in that loss against Notre Dame where he does have that key fumble on their first real scoring chance there. I think that's a great way to put it where, you know, 9 touchdowns, over 600 yards rushing, and I don't put the rushing issues that this team had on Trevor Etienne, but just statistically speaking, his worst year in college came at the University of Georgia. And I think it's fair to wonder what could have been had the circumstances been better for Trevor, both of his own doing, but also the support around Etienne as well.
Connor, I know that guys are finally speaking out, guys that are coming back, even guys that are leaving. They're upset about the Notre Dame loss. It's the first time since, 2020 that the Dogs suffered 3 losses? Alabama, Ole Miss, Notre Dame. So, look, it's not a down year, but that's the standard when you don't win the championship now at Georgia. And you go, well, it's a down year, and you win 11-3. Welcome to Nick Saban and Alabama's world.
Right.
What do you do or what do they need to do to not have that happen again next season?
And that's the big question this offseason, Carl, because it's not like there's easy changes to make there. So far, there hasn't been any coaching turnover, and I'm not necessarily believing that there's going to be any at this point in time unless somebody gets hired off of this staff. So it's little areas. Where can you improve it? And one thing is sort of digging back and going through it. Georgia got a good bit worse on third down, both on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball this season. They were number 1 last year in the country in opponents' third down conversion rate, and they were number 2 in the country in their own third down conversion rate. They both slipped in that regard this year. And when you're playing a schedule as tough as they did this season, it just makes the margins all that much slimmer. And so in an area like third down, that's something where you've got to be better. And going forward, look, those margins that Georgia prioritizes. They do very well in field goal positioning and field position in that sense, are going to be more important as I think the talent gap just gets reduced in college football because of NIL and because of the transfer portal. Georgia's still going to be better off than most, to your point. I think the only teams that would maybe take their season over what Georgia had would be Ohio State, Notre Dame, and maybe Oregon in that regard. But at Georgia, winning 11 games and getting into the college football playoff, winning the SEC is great. But if you lose the last game of your season, there are going to be a lot of hard questions that you have to face in the offseason. And Kirby Smart's certainly dealing with that right now.
It's our man Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation. As you pointed out in your article, Joe Klatt from Fox basically saying it was a down year because, you know, when you go back-to-back natties, you're right. There's just a level that, you know, fans are expecting. You always knew it was going to be a tough row to hoe when you think about all of the schedule, all those tough teams on the schedule. Real quick, though, when you look at this year, and I know we've talked a lot about the offensive line, do you really feel that Stacey Searles can actually improve? We'll have four new faces, and they'll be better than the guys who just left?
I think the thing that they're hoping for, because, again, they don't bring anyone in via the transfer portal, and the last freshman to start on this offensive line, true freshman anyway to do so, came back in 2018. So they're banking on the talent that they've had at that offensive line position. They've recruited very well at that spot over the years. They have some guys that they need to step forward. This group never found their best five-man offensive line combination a year ago. Injuries were a big part of that, and injuries are just a part of football. Some years you get lucky in that regard. Some years you don't. I don't think Georgia was particularly lucky there on the offensive line. But as far as Stacey Searles, and like, there's a segment of the Georgia fan base that is never going to approve of Stacey Searles because of what happened when he worked here when Mark Richt was the offensive line coach. But in 2022 and 2023, this offensive line was one of, if not the best offensive lines in the country. So when you go from that to what they had this year, which I think in looking back on it, at the very best you could say was substandard, at maybe worst you could say it was just outright bad offensive line, they've got to get back to where they were. And I still believe in the talent there to do so. And Stacey, more often than not at his time as Georgia, has shown an ability to get there. But if the offensive line struggles again this year, it's a real easy solution. They're going to have to go out there and find someone who can get this offensive line back playing at an elite level.
Well, Connor, as we talk about the dogs and moving forward, let's look at spring and what the goal is going to be, because believe it or not, right before you realize it, it's going to be time for G-Day. What's going to be the focus there as we talk about spring ball?
I think the biggest thing is the quarterback position, Gunnar Stockton, the presumed favorite here. How much does Ryan Puglisi, I think, make this a competition in the spring? They're going to give Gunnar and Ryan a lot of first-team reps. This is a huge opportunity for Gunnar Stockton. You can draw whatever conclusions you want from the Texas and Notre Dame games. I would point out that I don't think there's two harder, maybe Ohio State opponents you could have faced in your first two real extended first team action than Texas and Notre Dame. So I think Gunnar has the ability to get better, and they've surrounded him with better talent at the wide receiver position, both through the transfer portal and the recruiting ranks. And so, again, I think the big thing going forward, you need to see what you have in Gunnar Stockton and what he can do. But at the same point in time, I think just about everyone agrees, and players told me this in the locker room after the game, they need to be better around the quarterback position so that it's not all on Gunnar Stockton's shoulders like it felt often during the 2024 season with Carson Beck. That's just a tough place to put any quarterback in that situation.
It's Connor Riley, the Fast and the Furious Connor Riley. What the hell, man? Were you at the dragway? He's with us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. So, yeah, we brought this up earlier in the year. Marshall and Austin Peay to kind of ramp things up. You don't have to dive in. Obviously, they handled their business with Clemson. But, you know, then you hope he's ready to go because even you, I guess the argument you could make, Connor, is when you throw him in to a game like that SEC championship against Alabama, with everything, I mean, against Texas, I should say, with everything that was happening, he can handle that atmosphere. He can handle going up to Neyland in this, you know, in an SEC start against the Volunteers.
We're going to know a lot about this Georgia team, Mike, at the end of September, because I 100% agree with you in the sense that, like, getting thrown in at halftime of the SEC championship game, I know Neyland's going to be rocking. It's always rocking when Georgia plays there. It'll probably be a night game, just given the size of those two brands. I'm sorry, but what Gunnar did in the second half of that Texas game was a lot more difficult than what he's going to have to do going into Neyland there. And then after that, they get a bye week, and then they play Alabama at home. And if you're Georgia and you can get through that first month with a 4-0 record with wins against Tennessee and Alabama, games they're going to be favored in my opinion, and they're going to have to go out there and actually win. And Alabama, that's easier said than done because Kirby Smart is 1-6 in his career against Alabama. And lately, more often than not, they've been the more talented team than Alabama and still found ways to lose to them. But if you're able to get through that first month with a first-time, full-time starting quarterback in Gunnar Stockton, whoever it ultimately is, and with a 4-0 record, I think that really sets you up to have, again, another season where you're at least getting into the playoff. And as you saw with a team like Notre Dame this year, if the path opens up for you, you can find yourself in a national championship game and a few possessions away from winning it. Georgia, that's the floor for Georgia. And if you get through that first month with a first-time starting quarterback and you're able to pick up wins against Tennessee and Alabama, where Tennessee, they have some major questions this offseason, and Alabama, you're finally getting them at home for the first time since 2015, I think you're going to be in a pretty good spot given the offseason that they're going to go through.